Welcome back to Nahiyami. We are continuing in Sefer Yehoshua, entering Perek Yud Zayin, the 17th chapter of Sefer Yehoshua. We've moved from the general description of the lot that was given to the children of Yosef, to Manasseh and Ephraim in central Israel, and now we focus on the more specifics within that division. So the Perek starts off by describing the section that was given to Manasseh, the oldest son of Yosef. And then we get into an interesting throwback to the Torah, and that is that Tzelophehad was an individual who left Egypt, and he died with five daughters who continued and inherited him. And there was a whole discussion they had with Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Pinchas about their ability to inherit when there were no sons. They were granted Moshe Rabbeinu's permission after speaking with Hashem, and that became the section of Torah called Yerusha Sabbas, daughters inheriting. And this is now the time where they step forward and they say, Moshe Rabbeinu promised us this, and Yehoshua grants them exactly what they were promised, and they walk out with the inheritance. And the Tanakh describes that 10 portions were given, 10 sections of land were given to the children of Manasseh in Israel proper, in central Israel. And it goes on to describe the cities and the boundaries of the section of Manasseh. Now, interestingly enough, the next section in this perek describes that there was actually one area that they weren't successful in conquering. Much like we saw at the end of the last perek, we see that there was a certain area that they weren't able to really drive out the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were very strong by Yoel HaKnani. They persevered to stay in their land. And so Israel kind of, submitted by taxing them, but not really kicking them out. And we're going to see this is going to be a continual problem. It's going to be a perennial problem throughout all the Sefer Shoftim because of these inactions. At the end of the parak closes with an interesting drama in which the Bnei Yosef, which the Mefarshim say is specifically the children of Manasseh, come to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Yehoshua and say, Yehoshua, we're a lot of people. We just don't have enough land for us. So Yehoshua says, well, you know what? I got a great solution for you. You know, there's an area right next to you. Go and conquer more cities, cut down the forest and settle in the forest and conquer the Canaanites in there who are on the neighboring hill. And they respond, we can't really do that. They have chariots. And, in those days, chariots, of course, is the tanks of the time. We don't have such military equipment. We can't conquer them. And Yehoshua says, you should really cut down the forest and kick out the Canaanites, even though they have these chariots. And that's kind of the end of the conversation. So this is an interesting parak on a number of accounts. First, just to come back to the Bnos Tzelophehad thing as a point to ponder for a moment. When describing how many portions Manasseh was divided into, we're told that there's really essentially 10 provinces or 10 separate sections of land. Chazal tell us that the six of them went to the base of, which means to say that there were the main families of Manasseh, which are described as the children of Manasseh who sort of got their central portions and provinces, there were six in central Israel. There are four remaining ones went to the Benos Tzelophehad, for these daughters of Tzelophehad. How did that work? Well, the way that the inheritance worked was that depending on the number of people who came out of Mitzrayim, that sort of set the framework of how big each tribe would be based on that number. But then the subdivision of that happened as they entered the land. So let's say a family left Egypt with 10 children, so there would be 10 different sections of land, and if there were an incredible amount of children, those 10 sections would have to be subdivided smaller than if there'd been less children when they went into the land of Israel. So over here, when they left Egypt, Tzelophehad himself, who's the father of these five daughters, had one portion. He was actually a Bechor, a firstborn, so he had two sections. His father, Hefer, was also around and also had passed away, and he had a brother who also passed away during the desert, which was four portions, which the daughters of Tzelophehad got. So this is really just to appreciate the fruition of this actual episode of the daughters of Tzelophehad. It's quite a significant thing. We're talking about 40% of the landmass that was inherited in the land of Israel went to the daughters of Tzelophehad. That's a very serious amount of land in resolution. When coming back to this last episode that occurs with this conversation between Yehoshua and the children of Manasseh, or the children of Yosef more generally, why is it that they're having a trouble in the first place? I mean, like, didn't it work out? Everybody else seemed to be all right. Why are they complaining about their landmass? So Rashi or Meforshim explain that if you do a quick, careful count at the beginning of the desert experience and the end of the desert experience, meaning how much each tribe grew, the tribe which grew the most dramatically was in fact the tribe of Manasseh, starting off in Parshas Bamidbar as 32,000. Oddly, later on, 38 years later, they were 52,000, right? So we're talking about an increase of almost double in size, which is, you know, so this is why they got their sort of their land was carved out based on the people who left in Egypt. But now when they're actually entering the land, there's far more people to populate that smaller area, which is what their problem is. So what's the solution? So Yahshua says, you know, cut down the forest and conquer the Canaanites. And they say, look, we don't have the military equipment to do this. What was the response? How does this resolve itself in the end of the day? So the Mepharshim debate this. The Malbim says, Yahshua said, you know what, you're right. You can't conquer those Canaanites. You can't cut down the forest easily. So I'm going to work it out. And the Malbim goes on to point out that Yahshua redistributed some of the cities of Yisachar, of the northern tribe, incorporated into Manasseh because of the land issue. Fascinating. I think it's a tremendous chiddush the Malbim is suggesting. The mainstream of Farishim on this, like the Radak says, no, Yahshua says, I'm giving you a solution, run with the solution. You want more land, conquer more land. And they said, we can't. Yahshua says, you can. And that's how it really ends. It ends with them not willing to take the lead in the conquest. And this is where we see the problem occurring. They want some more land, but they're not willing to take that step necessary to actually conquer it. And this becomes a real problem. We're going to see actually Sefer Shoftim begins off with this very story in a certain sense, where Yosef isn't willing, able, slash, one or the other to go to that extra step. And we see that the 31 kings that we conquered aren't so conclusive and decisive as it would seem from the initial start off. This has not been the most successful conquest at this point in time. I mean, in the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.